big in such a small space, but it's
it's amazing. Where does this come from, this beautiful gold?
China. And it's my third one. I had to buy three and send the first two back before I got the one that sounded the way
later,
I was hoping.
Well, when the Cadwells were living here, Lynn would drive us to school because he was the principal, and he would grill us all the way with our multiplication tables. That's the one thing I know, forwards and backwards, and out of sheer terror. And at the time, I used to get terribly, terribly carsick, and he was really rather rather intimidating, and I was like terribly, terribly shy, right? And I was too afraid to say I have to throw up. Can you pull over? So I would just kind of barf out the window. So his Peugeot always had sort of barf
streaks.
And he would say to me, you know, you really just need to tell me and I'll pull over. But he was too scary, right? So I just kept on barfing out the window for like a whole year.
Finally, I did move here in 1951. But it was a very big change in those days. You can't help but miss all your friends and all that. But it was a marvelous experience. In Pasadena, you have your own little small group. And here in Big Sur, I met so many people that I would never have talked to in all my life. Margaret and Nat Owens, the Roosevelts, Hopkins, just so many people I met that I would have never had the opportunity to meet because they wouldn't be in my little clique.
Right, yeah, yeah. So back between 48 and 51 or 52, when you were coming up here and visiting a few times then, maybe once a year, twice a year, come and see your sister?
I would say about every...
It's funny to be in the service industry if you can't provide, get your guests with a good experience. And that sort of starts to happen along the highway, in my opinion.
There's no question that's happened and we've been discovered. And just as you are mentioned in Japanese and Korean magazines, Pfeiffer Beach has been discovered by social media. What can you do about it? I don't know what to do about it. There's one of the solutions, which I don't favor, of course, one of the solutions offered in one of the seven bills was to close the highway to automobiles and have a staging area. That's a fancy word for parking lot at Rio Road or thereabouts, probably take over the Delo Fields. Have a parking area there, a staging area, and a staging area at the Hearst Castle. Hearst Castle supported every bill, by the way, or the Hearst family supported every bill. Schwarzenegger finally bought the Hearst Castle for $1.50, turned it into a park. But when the Hearst people owned it, they would
convince me that this was an incredible place. It was at, I was involved in a shooting. Mm-hmm. And went to the hospital, and the outpouring of love and affection,
support,
and support.
Yeah.
And this was in November of 1972. Uh-huh. I couldn't.
Right.
It was overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah. Was
and
it
so,
in Big Sur that it happened?
Yes, uh-huh. Up on the old county road, up by Joe.
You know, they kept an eye on us, but they trusted us. And we kept things pretty well in order, you know. We were down here surfing and at night partying, but we definitely looked out after each other and tried to not raise too many red flags. So there was a good relationship, and Pat was a hard guy to get to know, and it's interesting because just before his passing, I finally got to know him a little bit. I one day we're in the post office together, and I just thought I'd ask him a few questions about his, you know, where he came from, and he grew up in Pacific Grove, and where I grew up, and we started to stop and talk to each other, and then he passed shortly after. So that was
too bad.
And you know, there were so many iconic men in those days, so Walter and Frank Trotter, you know, Pat and Kenny and Pat Duvall, and there was a lot to learn from those guys. Mm-hmm. Kenny pulled me over when I was 18 and gave me a fix-it ticket.
And you've been fixing it ever since.
And I changed from rope to fishing line to pull my wipers back and forth so he wouldn't see it. But you know, Kenny's still around today and mm-hmm. is still involved in the community, and mm-hmm. he's a great man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a long story, but basically my girlfriend and I were hitchhiking down the coast from Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. We went to Santa Cruz to visit some friends, and we're hitchhiking, and she said, let's go through Big Sur. So that's what we did. And we got a ride to Rio Road, and at that time, that was 1972, the only thing at Rio Road was the Chevron station, Long's, and Safeway.
Oh, but both Long's and Safeway were mm-hmm. there already. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so we sat there at that intersection and put our thumbs out, and two Hell's Angels came with their motorcycles, and they stopped. And I was nervous because I didn't know if we should take a ride with these big burly guys or not. And Andrea was 5 years older than I was, so she was in charge. Mm-hmm. I looked to her for everything. You know, I was a little puppy.
Because you're 18.
I'm 18.
Yeah.
She's 23. Mm-hmm. And she checked them out. And then she said, okay, it's fine. They're fine. We can go with them. Nothing. They'll let us off whenever we want. And the big burly guy that I rode with was a gentleman. And he said, don't you worry, honey. Nothing's going to happen except you're going to get the best ride of your life down the most beautiful highway in the world. And when you want to stop, you just tap me on my shoulder. Wow. And Andrea and that guy went off and I went off. Weekend. It was a beautiful day. Boy, it was just gorgeous.
And no helmets.
No helmets.
No, neither did he have a helmet.
No. And we rode down, and they dropped us at River Inn.
Did he have like the usual Hell's Angel kind of outfit?
Oh, absolutely. The leathers. Yeah. And we just had our little jeans on and our little moccasins or whatever we were dressed in. It was a beautiful warm day. It was gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
So we got off at the River Inn, and at that time, the post office was there, where the Village Shops are now.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the post office was, and a supermarket, a little market. So we stopped there, said goodbye to them. They went into River Inn and did their Hell's Angels thing, because that's where they were going. They were their destination was River Inn.
Right.
To have lunch and to, you know, have a beer and then go back to wherever they came from.
Right.
And we got our little supplies and then stuck our thumb out and said, God, I wish somebody would come by that we'd like to get high, you know. So maybe someone would be coming by that would have a joint or something. Wouldn't that be fun? And not too far after, long after that, a Volkswagen bus pulled over, and boy, did they have drugs. They had pot, they had hash, they had, and they were going to all the major. I shouldn't be telling you all this.
Yeah, it's fun. it's a long time ago.
I met all the people that were the big drug dealers on the coast, and it was so fun. I won't mention any names,
right.
But I got to go to so many great places, and that's, you know, that's where I met a guy who said, oh, you're so beautiful, marry me and have my kids, and, you know, just live in Big Sur forever and ever. And I was mesmerized with Big Sur.
At that time, you were mesmerized.
I was. Yeah. My question was, how do people get to live here?
Right.
So one of our destinations was Point 16. Although they were not the drug dealers, they were just people that wanted to get some pot. there's going to be a lot of editing in this. This is a demo. But anyway, Honey and Neil Rose were living there, and Jaime. Jaime was the guy who wanted to marry me. And so the kids were, Sterling was 2 years old. No, three. Goldie was two, and Faith was 6 months, mm-hmm. something like that. And
yeah.
And I just fell in love with Honey and Neil, and they fell in love with me, and the kids were immediately around me, holding my skirts, and I was just mesmerized. There was a wild horse named Rosie, there was goats, beautiful gardens. It was just this most beautiful place, and that's where I wanted to be. And of course, the end of the, we stayed the weekend there.
You and Jaime.
And Andrea.
And Andrea, uh-huh.
Yeah. But, you know, Andrea and I kind of huddled together, so there was no, you know, romance going on for me. I was too scared and too innocent in those days. So we hitchhiked back to San Joaquin Valley on Sunday, and I just was, my head was always in Big Sur. Oh, I've got to get back there. I've got to get back there.
There's a little detail I want to hear. When you hitchhiked from Point 16 back to San Joaquin Valley,
yes.
Do you remember how long that took?
Oh, it took all day.
So you didn't have to spend the night. Just a day and you were back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were easy hitchhiking days, especially with two girls.
Yeah. So then you're back at the Sunkist doing oranges?
Yes. Terrabella.
Yeah.
Terrabella, California, wearing, I was a diphenyl girl. I put toxic chemical paper over the tops of the oranges so that it acts as a preservative so they could ship them to Japan.
Right.
And they wouldn't go off.
Yeah.
They wouldn't get moldy.
Right.
And I was itching at the end of the day. It was not a good thing. It was awful.
Yeah.
Rashes and...
So then
I said, my dad was right. I needed to go back to college. There's no way I'm going to be a factory worker my life.
And there was another thought, though, right?
Go back to Big Sur.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So finally, I made it back to Big Sur.
No, how did that happen?
That's way too long of a story.
No. I would definitely want to hear it.
Well, I hadn't gotten my wisdom teeth yet. And so they were just starting to come in when I was 18.
Right.
And Andrea took me to a dentist, and he actually said, this tooth needs to come out. And he literally yanked my, pulling, and he's, God, it's infected. Oh, we got to get this out. And if I can't get it in these next two pulls, I think we're going to have to cut it out. And I was like, oh, God, yeah. No. Yeah. And he just... He pulled it out and said, ah, got it. I developed a big infection in it, what they call a dry socket. And in a matter of hours, I was in so much pain, I couldn't believe it. And I just, the only peace I had was just like my thinking about being in Big Sur.
Right.
And being at Point 16 with the kids and Honey and, you know, riding the horse and, you know, how to...
And that was after just having been there for...
A weekend.
A weekend, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I was very delirious. I mean, I was really in a lot of pain. It was almost like out-of-body experience.
Mm.
That's how bad it was. So I remember going into the bathroom, and then I grabbed a pen or a Sharpie or something like that, and I wrote a letter to Jaime on toilet paper. And I remember when Jaime said, when I left, he said, if you ever need to get a hold of me, just write me a letter, Jaime. Big Sur, California. It'll get here. It'll get to me. And, you know, it did. I wrote, I'm in pain. I feel like I'm going to die. Blah, 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 blah. Come get me. Help me. Help me. Or whatever I said, you know. And I went over to my girlfriend's boyfriend's desk, and I got
an envelope and a stamp, and I wrote Jaime, Big Sur, California, and I walked in my pajamas and my little slippers, because there was a mailbox at the end of the at the street, in pain, and I just put it in that mailbox.
Right.
And it got to Jaime. Then I got well from my bad situation, fortunately. The pain pills came, I went to another dentist. I'm already back in the saddle, being a diphenyl girl, and thinking, shit, what am I going to do now? This is just not sustainable.
Right.
I got to think of something. And it was a Saturday night, we were all in bed, and there was a knock at the door, and Jimmy got up. And it was probably midnight, 12:30 or 1 in the morning.
Mm.
And I hear, is Mary there? I've come to rescue her. And I went, oh my God, that's Jaime.
Uh-huh.
And he was the masseuse at Esalen, and he had this beautiful leather medicine pouch that he wore around his neck in the front, and he always had these beautiful embroidered clothes, and you know, he had this smooth, deep voice and just very elegant, you know, just very like, ooh, in control. He came over and knelt by the side of my bed and said, I've come to rescue you. And your chariot is outside waiting. And it was C.D. Evans was out there, and they had C.D. Evans.
Was that a friend of mine?
He was a lumberjack, a beautiful man of the woods. He was Jaime's best friend at the time, and they had brought... They had taken Honey and Neil's travel-all big van and put a big mattress in the back because he thought I was dying. You know, he was going to bring me back to Big Sur, nurse me to health, and marry me and have kids with me. And he really thought, he took it seriously. And he came over, and boy, did he get me. And I was kind of like, oh, yeah, I wrote that letter. Darn, but I'm fine now. And he said... That's okay, don't worry. And I said, but you know, I really don't know if I want to go. I really, you know, I've got my job on Monday. And he said, I won't touch you, but just come to Big Sur and stay with me for the weekend. And if you want to come back, whenever you want to come back, we'll bring you back. But just come for Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And so I did.
Uh-huh.
We left, we drove, we came.
Now you're alone, no Andrea.
No, Andrea, I take off.
Yeah.
I only have the clothes on my back. Right. I left everything. I just went right then, right there. I think I grabbed my toothbrush. I think that was it in my purse. Because I was going to come back.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And we went over Nasi Miena Road, and I remember it was dawning then.
Oh, yeah, you come to the coast.
That's the route they took.
Wow.
And he said, look, this is your new home. And it was just the most magnificent day.
Of course.
And so we drive down the coast, and then he points out the white face rock, which is Point 16. And,
yeah.
You know, he says, this could be your new home. And then, but where I'm going to take you to Esalen first, to the baths. And he told me all about the Esalen Indians and the baths, the myth about the bath, how you don't talk, you don't raise your voice, you don't come to the baths to muddy the waters. You have to have no conflict, no fighting. It has to be peaceful, healing vibes that you come in with. Otherwise, in the old days, the Indians would have to bless the water if anybody were fighting down at the bath.
Right.
It just has to be completely. So it was like he set the stage for this real, spiritual. Of course, and we're stoned like rats. You know, we're smoking the best pot in the world, and. But nobody was growing the sansomilla back then. Stuff from Mexico. So we went there. And at that time, Tom Grease and Bunny Grease and their two kids were living at the big house at Esalen, which is the most beautiful house,
mm-hmm.
sitting on the bluffs there, right above the ocean at Esalen. Just the most. And they had the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
They were living in the whole house. So we drive to the big house at Esalen.
Mm-hmm.
And we go in, and Tom Grease is lighting up bowls of hash, and I'm just like, I can't even see straight. I've never been so stoned in my whole life. And then we walk over to the baths, and we have the bath, and then we drive to Point 16 after that.
Wow.
And you know, Honey and Neil, the wood stove and no electricity, and it's just a beautiful day, and the kids are running around, and I mean, it was just paradise. Yeah. I mean, how do people get to live here? It's like, and now I could live here.
So you stayed at Point 16?
I stayed at Point 16, and Honey gave me her skirts, and she had a treadle sewing machine. She said, here, this is how you make a dress. This is how you make a skirt. Make yourself some skirts. Here's some fabric.
Right.
Here's the elastic waistband. Yeah. And here, you don't have any clothes, but here, make some. Make your clothes.